That's always my goal, is to not just be like any photographer. People are like, I need a photographer. And before they even say what it's for, people say your name. I want the best, most natural newborn photographer. Who do I go to? Instantly, you want to be that person or whatever your specialty is. I just had a client who was trying to figure out who to use. She said a friend was like, oh, use this person. Or my friend is just starting photography, something like that. And she was like, how long has she been doing newborns? And I think her friend was like, oh, she's just starting or something. And my client was like, I want to go to the person who has the specialty and the expertise and the experience. And she didn't care what it cost. She knew that it was going to be, it could be a disaster session, depending on who you hire, or it could be like this beautiful, calm, easy experience. And she knew that she wanted somebody who could take control of everything and knew what they were doing and could give that to her.
Welcome to the Motherhood Anthology Podcast, photography education for a business you love. My name is Kim Box, and I'm your host with the collaboration and help of my co-host and business partners at the Motherhood Anthology, Jenny Kruger and Allison Craig.
All right, for joining us today. I know that some of you submitted questions, and we're going to go through those. But if you have maybe a follow-up question or you want to chime in and just ask a question maybe you didn't put on the list, you're welcome to unmute and do that as we go. So it's just going to be super casual. And Allison was going to join us today, but she's not feeling well, so we're going to miss her. But I think she'll probably get in on one of these this week. So
awesome, awesome. I'm excited. Well, there's some good questions.
I'll just dive in, Jenny, and I'll start asking you some that they submitted, and we'll go through this to start with. I think the first one was marketing tips for motherhood minis. I feel like there isn't any interest in them. This is my first year offering them, and I'd like to sell them out. So what do you have? Do you have any tips?
That is really hard because I am a firm believer that mini sessions do really well when you have a big client base. I don't know if you feel the same way or have experienced that, but I would be like in my first few years of business and I could sell a $1,500, $2,000 like full session, no problem, but nobody booked minis when I tried to do them. And I just didn't have a really big client base built up. So that is tough. If you do, whatever client base you do have built up, I would be sure that you're sending them like really pretty like marketing emails, flow desk emails about the event. And I think sometimes we think we like send one and it's good, or post one time on like social media and like we shared it, so it's all good. But so much is missed. So many people miss things in their inbox. So many people don't ever see things on social media. So you really have to be crazy consistent and almost obnoxious with like how much you're promoting it. And then if you are, I think you said that this person was newer to business. And so you could look at partnering with a local shop or boutique or other business that might have the same ideal clients. Oh, let me admit some people, the same kind of ideal clients. And maybe you're both just starting out and trying to get some new people, new eyes on your stuff, or they're a little more established. And so they have a client base, but you can offer them something that makes it worth it to them that they really want to, and they're excited to push this to their clients. I would look at things like that for sure, but it's not you. I think partially it is that they're just really hard to do without a really big following and client base to begin with. And then I've heard from so many people this year that even who have had minis in the past, let's just say motherhood minis, because that's probably what we're talking about right now. Even this year, theirs are not selling like they used to. So it's not you.
Jenny, do you think it's possibly that, I feel like motherhood minis were a new thing a few years ago, and now so many people are doing them, and so many people are doing like florals, and they're starting to look a little similar. So maybe it's something that our clients have gotten used to, and maybe they've done it a time or two with it, you know, in the past. And so I'm saying that because this year I wanted to shoot. I cut back on shooting, and so I did some motherhood minis, but I did a kind of a more modern look. So it was studio, black and white, no florals. And I had a really good response, maybe because I hadn't promoted anything in a while, but so many people were like, oh, I love that look. I'm gonna do that. So do you think maybe it's just that we need to, still in our style, but maybe do something a little bit different?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I feel like we're both like super guilty of this, but through TMA, we've taught so many people, hey, this works for us. Do this. This is really successful. If you teach enough people that, it's not going to be different. And we say this all the time, but that book, like The Purple Cow, if everything looks the same, it's not remarkable. It's not exciting to people. They can get it anywhere. Whereas if you just try something just a little outside the box or like a little bit different, it really stands out and people notice it. Whereas if everybody's doing motherhood minis and, like you said, adding beautiful florals, like they're beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's just not a unique, special thing anymore, if that makes sense.
So maybe try something just a little bit different.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next question, is it better to list your prices on your website or send them to potential clients after they inquire?
Ooh, I like this question. Honestly, okay, so really there's neither is better or worse. There's no like one is right, one is wrong. And aside from being profitable and being legal and paying your taxes and not stealing stuff, like that's really the only thing that's like cut and dry in any creative business. Everything else is your personal preference, what you find works best. I'm never going to tell somebody like, don't put your pricing on your website, but I would never put my pricing on my website. I think if I were all inclusive, hey, a session is $2,500. You get your session, you get your digital files. There's really not much else to put out there. So like I could see maybe putting that on your website. But if you're anything like a session fee, creative fee, commission fee, anything like that, and then have either packages or a la carte, or you have all these different options after. I just feel like a client thumbing through my website, deciding if they even want to hire me, doesn't need to know the price of this image in this particular album. It's just, those are such like tedious details that I hope that my website alone portrays that I'm not going to be $200 all inclusive. I do put a starting price on there for my commission fees, membership fees, just to them know that, hey, the commission fee alone and what it includes and what it doesn't include is almost $500. This isn't going to be your $300 all inclusive session and situation. And also the flip side of that is you have to be okay with then getting emails from people that really love your work and want your work. But then when you send full pricing, you're out of their budget. And that's fine. I was just talking about this with somebody this morning of I'm okay with getting a lot of no's if I'm still getting enough yeses and I'm still bringing in the income every year that I want to and shooting the amount of sessions that I want to. You could have somebody that's getting inquiries that are 90% say, yes, I'm ready to book you because your pricing was on your website and they already knew it. Or oftentimes it's when your pricing is on the lower side that if you have lower pricing and pretty good work, you're going to get a lot of yeses. And so I think, but that's not to say that those people are even bringing in close to the income that I'm bringing, and they could be doing 3 or 4 times the amount of sessions. And I want no part of that. I'm anti that. But yeah, no right or wrong. I think it just depends on your brand, your business, what you feel comfortable with in follow-ups and ghosting. You don't put prices on your site, you're going to get a lot of ghosting. You're going to get a lot of no's, but I think our businesses are proof that that works out okay too. But yeah. Hey, Mary, what's up? If you could only have one marketing technique, what would you choose? Which is most important to you? Okay. Oh, this is really hard because I'm like really 50-50 split in SEO, Google inquiries, and now Instagram inquiries. So I honestly, as much as I would like to give Instagram up and just throw my phone in the dumpster and never look at it again, I don't think I would ever give that up. And I would obviously never give up my website and wanting good SEO on that. So I'm picking those two. I could give everything else up. Those are my two main ones.
But totally me choose. Throw Instagram in the trash.
Yes. Yes. Honestly, if I didn't feel like it was so important and I didn't get so many inquiries, not necessarily like through Instagram, but like I send them to my contact form, but a lot of people are finding me on Instagram. I get a lot of inquiries that say like something like, I found out I'm finally pregnant. I've been following you for years. Those are like some of my best clients. They've been like waiting and watching and like waiting for their turn. I would never give that up, even though I'd love to.
Yeah, I just finished a social media break for 4 months while I focused on other stuff and just let the holidays be without social media. And I'm just diving back in. So what would your top one then be with social media? Would it be like stories or posts?
Ooh, gosh, they're so different. I feel like they have such a different, what is the word I'm looking for? Different purpose. I guess if I had to truly pick one or the other, posts, I want to see that your grid is consistent, that it's both consistent in style and balance and what it looks like, but also consistent in posting schedule. So I'm not saying you have to post 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, every single week, but if you post 6 posts in these 2 weeks and then dip for 3 months or a month, and then you come back and you post one, and then a week later you post 2 more, I'm looking at this. I'm always looking at dates and I'm like, what is going on here? So being consistent with both of those things, I think is huge, because when somebody does land on your profile, they're completely judging you by a quick scroll down what your bio looks like and that quick scroll down your grid. And I have heard that your grid is, and obviously using hashtags on it to get new people to see it, is for new clients and attracting new followers, whereas your stories are to engage, entertain, continue to cultivate a relationship with your current followers. So two super different purposes. I do think stories get seen a lot easier than grid posts just in general. I know for me, I find myself, I'm very rarely like scrolling on Instagram, but I'm often scrolling stories. I always see those. And I think that's important, but how your grid looks is like super, super important.
All right, Jenny, best way to market yourself to your local market?
Ooh, okay. I feel like we just touched on that. Like I said, I would never give up good SEO. I want, and it has been like this for the entirety of my 14 years in business, I want people to Google my keywords and I'm in those top few spots and land on my website. And then once they get there, your website has to do the work. So you can't have really great SEO and then a terrible website. Like it has to like all match up together, which is the hard part. That's not an easy feat. That takes a lot of work and hustle. And definitely website for getting local clients, searching those local keywords, Instagram using good hashtags that people are actually following and searching, local in terms of not online, I would say partnering with boutiques, other businesses that, even just honestly, it doesn't have to be something big, but following your other local businesses on Instagram or on Facebook and being authentic in your comments and interactions with them. It doesn't have to be like salesy, but just cultivate that relationship. So people are used to seeing your name, or when that bakery has a client with a baby and they're like, too many good photographers around here, or oh, whatever. They're thinking, oh, this person is the best at what you're looking for. That's always my goal, is to not just be like any photographer that people are like, I need a photographer. And before they even say what it's for, people say your name. But if someone's, I want the best, most natural newborn photographer, who do I go to? Instantly, you want to be that person or whatever your specialty is. I just had a client who was trying to figure out who to use. And what did she tell me during her session? She said a friend was like, oh, use this person. Or my friend is just starting photography, something like that. And she was like, how long has she been doing newborns? And I think her friend was like, oh, she's just starting or something. And my client was like, I want to go to the person who has the specialty and the expertise and the experience. And she didn't care what it cost. She knew that it was going to be it could be a disaster session, depending on who you hire, or it could be like this beautiful, calm, easy experience. And she knew that she wanted somebody who could take control of everything and knew what they were doing and could give that to her. That was a little tangent.
Mary followed up. How do you find good hashtags?
Ooh, okay. I usually just will start like typing in. It's a little harder now. You have to click through a few different things to get over to the hashtags from the search in Instagram. But so I'm in Nashville. And so a big keyword for me, I'll think about like my SEO keywords. Like a big keyword would be Nashville newborn photographer. So I'm going to go in Instagram and type in all the variations of that and let it load as I'm typing and see what pops up. And then you can see if something says it has like fewer than 100, I'm probably not going to use that. If something says it has like 1 million, I'm probably not going to use that either because you're never going to get seen. And that's probably really not a local one anyways. So you want to see what your community, and it can be really different from location to location, what they're using. I know Allison always says, in bigger cities, there's pockets and neighborhoods, not necessarily like a subdivision, but neighborhoods where it's like X city moms group or something like that. Even look for those. So you can see, for me, a really affluent neighborhood would be like Green Hills, which is technically a Nashville address, but it's like a neighborhood of Nashville. There could be like a Nashville or a Green Hills moms group or a Green Hills hashtag. And I'm going to start searching for that kind of thing and put in a few different variations to see if I can find if that exists and then use that, things like that. Lots of legwork. Of course, all the good marketing is lots of legwork.
go ahead.
Nope, go ahead.
I was just going to say, to follow up on that question. So we just finished the SEO Done For You course with Melissa.
Okay.
And I feel like our website looks really good, but we are branching out into marketing to an area that's an hour away from us. And essentially, we started doing that because we realized a lot of our ideal clients are in that area and not so much as many as where we're at, living at currently. Mm-hmm. My question is, like, how do I make myself stand out to that area when I'm local, but I'm still like an hour away? Doing a lot of our clients like to come over and try on some of the dresses before they wear them in our client closet. And for someone that's an hour away, that's not necessarily easy. I've had a couple clients that have wanted to do that. And I have a newborn and a child too. So it's not easy for me to drive an hour to let them try on clothes. And then, so I guess I've reached out to a couple boutiques in the area. I've posted in a Coleman baby group that I know a lot of people are in that area. So for generalization, I'm in Newport News, Virginia, and I'm marketing to Richmond, Northern Virginia area. So we're still shooting in this area, but I'm just expanding to that area. Yeah, I just want to know, what suggestions you have to really stand out when I'm not in that area exactly?
Okay, so if I'm understanding, I'm in the same situation. I say I'm a Nashville photographer, but my house where I'm sitting right now is 45 minutes south of Nashville. While we're in an affluent area, I'm not marketing to, this is not my, where I'm marketing to. And so everything that I'm pushing out there is Nashville, Franklin, Green Hills, those kind of suburbs or neighborhoods. As far as the dresses, what I think you're asking is like, how do you do that with having wardrobe? And honestly, I just wouldn't. I wouldn't let them try on beforehand. I would be really, have a lot of communication about like sizing, likes, dislikes, things like that. And then let them pick and say, hey, I do this if I'm going to someone's home. I'll be like, hey, send me some screenshots from Instagram or my website and your sizes. And if you like sleeves or don't like sleeves or want color, no color, whatever it is, like you can give them, make a little form even. And then I'll just go and bring them like 5 or 6 things to choose from. But I think really, honestly, if you, regardless of your location, if you don't have a studio, I'd be doing it that anyways. My clients just, they do it the day of at the studio. We just build in a little clothing time, but I would not be trying on clothes or having clients come to me or driving to them. Honestly, even if they were next door, that's just so much extra that I would not be about. I wouldn't worry about that. I would do it the other way. And then just push out all your marketing as if you, it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter where your cars are parked at night. You are marketing to the best places that you need to be marketing to.
Thank you. Yeah. So I don't really tell people to come over here, but when they ask that, I'm like, oh, I can just bring them early to the session. I don't really do I don't have a studio of my own. So if I do any studios, it's me renting out someone else's studio or them kind of finding a studio. But yeah, I was just trying to think, other than reaching out to local boutiques, which seem to be a fail for me, because every time I reach out, I just get ghosted and they either don't respond. And so my next thing is just walking in there with some business cards and hoping to make an impression.
When you say reaching out to boutiques, is it in terms of like partnering or to send your clients there for clothing so much?
More for a referral, like you were saying with the bakery. If someone's like, hey, do you know any like good photographers? There's a couple boutiques in that area that have like baby clothes that I generally would probably buy for like my kids, that I like, they're very like grand millennial kind of style and very preppy, and that's like my ideal client is dressing their kids in. Okay. And so those are the boutiques that I've reached out to, and they just usually don't respond. And I'm reaching out to them on Instagram, so maybe that's not the best way to do it. But since I live like an hour away, I'm only up there for a session, so I don't necessarily always remember to stop in at the boutique on the way home or before.
I would honestly, and this is going to sound like so much work and potentially costly, but go and be your ideal client and shop there. Cultivate that relationship with them. Nobody wants a cold call, DM, or email. If it is, hey, like, I need you to do something for me, that's not appealing to any business. I'm not saying that's what you're doing, but go there and get to know them. Take your kids and buy something and talk with the sales people there and just become their client. And eventually it's a slower process, but that's a authentic way to do it. And then it should naturally come up that, oh, hey, this is what I do, or I'm buying these for a session I have next week, and I'm going to clothe the daughter in it. Like whenever I did that with, I don't really do that so much anymore, I'm obviously like more established, I would go and buy things and be like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so perfect for my client wardrobe. And of course the salespeople would be like, wait, what? And then I would like just start naturally like telling them what I do. And they'd be like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And would it automatically lead to me giving them a bunch of business cards? Not always. Also, I don't tend to have them with me, which is stupid. Maybe plan to bring business cards or like a little marketing card or something. I would say, hey, my studio is down the street, which obviously you're not going to say that, but you can say, yeah, oh, I have sessions around here all the time. Like all of my clients shop here. I'm so excited to get some things from my client wardrobe here. And that just like snowballs.
Okay, hey, thank you.
Yeah.
Laura said, what would your weekly marketing schedule look like? How do you plan it?
Oh gosh, I try so hard. You guys are going to laugh at me. I try so hard to be like, okay, Mondays I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. And it just does not work out that way. So in my brain, what I have to do is sit down and make a list for about a week's time and say, okay, I know I need to like post a blog this week. I know I want to post at least 3 photos or carousels or something on my Instagram grid. I know I need to be better. Like the past week, I was really absent from Instagram. We were getting ready to go to the retreat, and then I drove all day Wednesday. And so I didn't post anything on Instagram, but like normally I would look at that and be like, okay, this week I really need to catch up and be back in stories. And so just to have your like, what is it? Like your tenets of, here's the things that I need to do consistently every single week, or even every 2 weeks. I want to make sure that I'm hitting all these. Write that list out. And then every week, see, because my schedule varies. And so it's very hard to have a consistent Tuesdays are for this, Mondays are for this. Some weeks I have 2 sessions, some weeks I have 5 sessions. So it's like very, I get stressed when I can't keep to a consistent schedule. So instead I would rather have that list. And then every Monday morning, then I have a for sure schedule for the week and I can plug those things in and say, okay, I can probably post a carousel post on Instagram today. My session tomorrow, that will be my sneak peek post on Wednesday on Instagram, and just puzzle piece your week out knowing that you want to hit all of these things. I'm a little more like, Kim would be shocked, I'm a little more fly by the seat of my pants with that stuff. as long as it gets done.
How do you recommend increasing visibility when just starting out?
Absolutely SEO, which is frustrating because that's a long game. You're not going to implement good SEO on your website and then tomorrow you're getting a bunch of inquiries that found you on Google. But that to me is the most important that those Instagram hashtags continuing to show up on Instagram. Any clients that you do have, make sure you're engaging with them on Instagram and even engaging with their followers. If they post something and you comment, or they post a picture from your session and their mom comments, I'm always trying to respond to that grandma and be like, oh my gosh, your grandkids were so sweet. I loved them. All grandmas want to hear that. All parents want to hear that. So just again, cultivating those relationships and trying to do it in a really authentic way, which is a little slower build. And then we talked about shopping where your ideal client shop, getting to know those people. Those are my big ones. That's what worked for me.
Okay. This is a good one, Jenny. You're going to like this one.
Uh-oh.
How do you begin marketing yourself as a luxury photographer after charging $350 all-inclusive for sessions with no studio?
Ooh. Okay. First of all, I don't think we can see who wrote these, and we can't on our sheet now for sure, but whoever this is, I'm so proud of you because this is our favorite thing. I'm going to assume that when you switch to that, you probably, or should, and this would be how you start, is make sure that your work is elevated to that price. And sometimes people, it's not even that their work needs to be elevated or changed, but they need to learn to curate and only show the best of the best. Maybe you've been doing it so long that you have so many sessions and your portfolio is just a mashup of so many different things from these older, cheaper sessions. If those don't fit your current style or your current overall brand, make sure that you're taking those off. Make sure that you are filling, either taking them off Instagram or filling your Instagram with your current brand and style. And then just the copy and the style and brand on your website has to support those new prices. So think about words you're using. I try never to use the words shoot, capture. There's another one. Things like that. Just think of elevated language and try to use words that don't also have like negative meanings as well, even though obviously we don't mean them that way. But all those little things add up. And then you just rip the band-aid and say, these are my new prices. Remember that like your new inquiries who are seeing everything new have no idea what you did in the past. Some might, because they're like friends of those old clients, but don't worry about that. It is what it is. But just make sure everything you're doing moving forward supports those new prices and pretend like you've been doing this forever.
And sometimes people make assumptions based on your price.
You know? That alone tells so much. Like I think we were talking about this weekend, but you'll land on a website and it is like $300, $400, $500 all inclusive. But then like everywhere, they're like, we're a luxury studio. And in my mind, I'm like, it's not even possible to be that because you physically can't, like you cannot do, maybe you are, and that's just really bad. But I can't imagine having the wardrobe that I have and spending the time that I'm spending with my clients for that price. Like it is impossible. So price conveys a lot.
Are there any apps or websites that you use to make creating marketing faster?
Ooh, I do like this one. Plan, P-L-A-N, is what I use mostly for my desktop, but there's also an app for your phone to schedule all of my Instagram posts. And like I said, like they're usually like either scheduled that day for a time that I want them to go, or even that week. I just can't get it together to schedule like a month's worth of posts in advance, but you can also do that. But I just use it because I like seeing, you can like upload the post and then move it around and plan your grid a little bit. And it's just really easy for me to type in captions, and it's all your hashtags saved. So you can save a whole list of 5 different newborn hashtag sets and instantly plug and play those. And so it just makes it so easy. I love that. I'm super old school, so I still use Photoshop for a lot of like templates that I already have and just tweak. But Canva is obviously so fast and so easy to do like any kind of like marketing, anything that you could possibly need. And you can, this is probably only with the Canva Pro accounts, but like Flowdesk, you can upload your brand colors, your fonts, all the things, and so easily apply that to like any template or anything that you find there. And then Flowdesk for marketing emails, we are huge fans. Kim knows that like when Flowdesk started, I was like, I hate email marketing. I hate getting marketing emails from brands. I hate doing them. And then Flowdesk came out and I was like, these are so pretty. We have a freebie for that. We have a template with the design and copy that we are giving out right now. And so that's really cool. You could just recently with them, you can share templates between people. I can give people a link for templates that I make. But again, you can put your branding fonts, all your visual branding can go into that and make it really pretty and easy. It's pretty dummy proof. I like it.
Hey friends, are you in search of something special to set your portraits apart? If you are, I'm excited to share Willow Canvas with you. Willow Canvas is a mother-owned company that creates beautiful hand-painted fine art backdrops. Willow Canvas offers a wide range of sizes to fit your space, whether you're traveling or in the studio. Each Willow Canvas is soft and neutral with a texture and tone that will complement your branding. Sarah, the artist behind Willow Canvas, is one of our favorites. She's so sweet and kind and dedicated to delivering personalized customer service with 3 ordering options: ready to ship, custom, or pre-order based on your chosen hues and textures. All of us at the Motherhood Anthology absolutely love Willow Canvas for its amazing customer service, beautiful colors, and exceptional quality. Discover the magic of Willow Canvas by heading over to their website, willowcanvasbackdrops.com. Browse their beautiful galleries and start creating the perfect backdrop for your photography. Find them on Instagram at willow_canvas or visit willowcanvasbackdrops.com. And don't forget to join their email list for 10% discount on your purchase and, for our listeners, free shipping while this airs.
Are you using any AI for even captions, ChatGPT? Does Plan have an AI helper?
They do. And I also pay for ChatGPT and I always forget I have it. Sometimes I like to use that to get a starting point. I usually hate 90% of what they actually say and go back and fix it all. But it's so much easier, at least for my brain, it's so much easier to have something in front of you and go back and change it all than to start with a blank piece of paper. And so that can be really helpful for that. I would not recommend asking it for something and just doing a copy paste. I don't know enough about AI to know if this is for sure, but I've heard people say that Google and everything knows that, which I'm not really sure how, but okay. And so you just want to be sure that you really are tweaking it, number one, to avoid that, and number two, to make it sound like it is truly what you want to say and in your brand voice and things like that. I've used the Plan more than the AI before they did the AI captions. They have caption ideas, different kinds of captions. And then within those, they change them every month. So it could be like, you can choose what kind of caption you want. And then there's a drop down of, let's just say, like 10 ones for that month. And then same thing, go through and make it your own and things like that. But it's just a good starting point, because I think most people don't post on social media because we don't know what the heck to say. We're like, oh my God, I have tons of pictures to post, but I cannot think of another caption today. Like, I just can't do it. So that's helpful.
Do you think doing free shoots at baby groups to meet new moms? I love that.
No. To expand more on that. So I feel like if how I'm understanding this question, I feel like that is not going to be the setup that represents the actual shoots that you want to be doing. I think you could for sure participate in a mom's group and get to know people. And again, make like authentic connections, relationships. Like Allie said this when she moved to her new town, like she just hit the ground running and joined anything and everything she could to just meet people. It wasn't necessarily to go and be like, hey, can I do mini shoots for your group? Hey, I'm a photographer. First of all, nobody wants that. And that's probably not going to be very helpful to you. But again, cultivating those relationships. And then they realize that, oh, this is your profession. This is what you do when you're not doing your personal stuff with them. And wow, your work is really good. You're an artist. We want to hire you. Yeah, I wouldn't just be like, hey, can I do mini shoots at mom's group meeting in the park this afternoon?
Because they're always going to equate you with free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I will say, I'm big on, if you need content portfolio stuff, handpick a model that is exactly what you want. You get to make all the decisions, location, time of day, what they wear, when they take a step to the left, like all the things. You make all the decisions and offer them a free session and files. And hopefully you pick somebody who is also connected, almost like a mini micro influencer that's really locally known as the go-to mom. I'm not against giving her a free session if you're trying to build up a new business or a new location or you need for your portfolio, things like that. But you also it doesn't have to be a whole big thing that it was free. All we want is for her to share those images and rave about you and all the things. And that kind of starts spreading and snowballing.
How do you figure out the algorithm to know when to post?
I saw that one and I was like, oh, I wish I knew the answer to this one. Okay, so Plan will tell you, it tracks your Instagram once you've been doing it a little while, and it will tell you your best times to post or when your clients or your followers are the most online. Sometimes I will go by that because they're tracking actual data from your account, if that makes sense. But at the end of the day, literally nobody knows what the Instagram algorithm is doing that week or that day or what they want. People can guess based on past interactions and things like that, but they're not giving us that information. So it's truly impossible to know. I did read something a couple of days ago that said, and this worked out really well for me because I didn't post at all last week. And then by Saturday, I was like, I have to post something. But it said like all the businesses are posting Monday through Friday, be different and post on a Saturday or a Sunday, which I typically don't ever post. I'll do stories, but I won't post on my grid on those days. Because again, I'm doing that Monday through Friday. So by the time it was like Saturday, I was like, I have got to post just something. And I did, and it bombed. I don't know if nobody saw it, if it was a really horrible picture. Y'all can go to my Instagram. It's the most current post with the blue maternity picture. And it is, if I posted that, I'd be like, wow, okay, I guess this is a terrible picture just based on that. But it's just hit or miss. You just never know.
What platforms are most crucial to post on?
Oh, like social media platforms, I'm assuming.
I think so.
For me, it's always been Instagram. When I started my business, Instagram didn't exist. That's not true. It wasn't always Instagram, but I did have a Facebook page and I religiously posted on that. So that was my go-to at first. And then I feel like Facebook pages just went down. I stopped posting on that and switched to Instagram. That's my biggest. I would not give that up, but you could also do things like Pinterest. I just really feel like Instagram is the best for us, for our businesses. It's where, if you are photographing like little ones and young families, I think that's where a lot of moms are searching for products and services right now.
Is your Instagram and Facebook linked so that when you post to Instagram, it's posting to Facebook?
I've done both. Again, I've heard from like the powers that be that like they don't like that. So there used to be, I'm sure this still exists, something called like Hootsuite. Did you ever use that? Where you could schedule your posts and it would go to all the social media platforms. But then the social media like marketing gurus were like, but each platform needs like a different treatment. Like the things you say and the things you do on Instagram should be different than the things you do and say on Facebook and different from what you're doing on Pinterest and then different from Twitter when X now, right? Whatever. Like the way that you post on each of those, you should be posting, it can be like the same thing, but it should be like written differently and said differently to appeal to like how people view and use those things. Sometimes I would post to both. I took it off. I started just this year. I'm like, maybe I should post to my Facebook page again. But I swear, I feel like when I push a post on Plan from and put it to Instagram and Facebook, it never does as well. And that might be like maybe it's just a coincidence, but so I stopped doing that because I'm like, I don't want to risk it. I don't want to tank my Instagram to post on Facebook that no one's seen. I don't know. You can.
What are great ways to market locally without the internet?
So nice to imagine no internet, right? Like I said, like local businesses, local shop, joining local photography groups. This was really big when I was starting out, but we had a group where there were some people that had been doing this longer, but we were all like in the same starting, like the same point in our businesses. And so we were all just like learning together, bouncing ideas off each other, seeing who does what. And I still refer people to those wedding photographers or those senior photographers 14 years later. And I know that I get referrals from those wedding photographers that I've had coffee with 20 times in the first 2 years. If they don't do newborns or maternity after a client gets married, they send them to me. That can be huge. I think one thing to really remember is get in at the same level that you're at. So it's probably going to be less well received if there's already a really established group and really established other businesses and photographers that are, we've talked about this before, but that already are like networking and working back and forth with each other. Whereas somebody more at your just starting out level is also looking for the same thing and needing the same thing. So you can build together.
When you market on social media, would you post or share things other than photography?
Yes, not in your grid. So what I recommend for your grid posts is to share your actual client work and then have some other things that you can sprinkle in there. So it's not just like client posts, like monotonous. So if you sell products, be really diligent about taking product photos every time a client's product comes in or of your samples and things like that. That way you can break it up and it's interesting to like see albums on your feed one day or wall art and things like that. Mary, I feel like, was it you who also asked if you could sprinkle in like text quotes or something like
that? That was me. I don't know who the other question was, but that was me.
Yeah. I feel like just anything that's like different, but still stays within your brand and makes your grid look just pretty and keeps on brand is good. So you just don't want it to be like all of that. And then in stories, I feel like that's when you can get really personal and just share. Again, curate it and think about, okay, these are things I'm going to share. These are things I'm never going to share. And make sure that it's supporting your brand and your price. But I saw somebody post once of their little kid like playing in on the toilet or something like that. And while it was like parent relatable, I'm like, I would just probably never want to show a video or a photo of a toilet in my stories. So like, think about that stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Postcards, flyers, local parent magazines, do they work?
They have not worked for me. So I look at it as, let's say I am all of our ideal client, which I think probably I am now. I wasn't always, but I've always been like this. I am probably not going to hire somebody if I'm seeing an ad in like the free county magazine that we get or free city magazine flyer that we get. To me, those are not like higher end businesses usually. And this is terrible because I understand marketing. I understand how it works. I don't feel this way when businesses are marketing on Instagram. But in my mind, I'm like, if you had to put that ad, if you did a print ad in 2024, like how desperate are you for business and getting your name out there? And like, why is that? That's what I'm thinking in my head. So that may not be true at all. Like I could be completely wrong, but like if it's our ideal client, no.
I'll say, Jenny, we used to do some photography work for a local magazine, but it wasn't just a book full of ads. It was a local high-end magazine. And the only way we would do it is if they would give us a whole page. We would do one strong image, full page. And that worked really well because it looked very high-end. So I think it just probably depends on the magazine.
I could see that too. And so a couple of years ago, and why I don't think it really helps that much, but you could like do it. I wouldn't spend a lot of money on it at all. But the bakery that I have used for my studio for a long time, like I became friends with the owner. She moved into this new place and I'll do your pictures. Let's do some pictures in the new bakery. And she was doing this feature coming up in one of our local magazines that are, they're free at all the like boutiques and stuff. But it's like a nicer magazine. It's not like a penny flyer. And she's, can I use them for that? And I said, of course. They usually use their own photographer. And so she asked them and they said, yes. And I said, I wouldn't like, I was doing this for free for her. It's just a thank you. And I was like, I don't like, they don't have to pay me. You don't have to pay me, but they have to credit me on the pictures, which really, I don't want more work from bakeries. It wasn't that big of a deal, but that was just part of the deal. It goes out and my name is not anywhere. And worse yet, their main photographer, who's the daughter of the magazine owner who does all the pictures usually, is credited. And I'm like, absolutely not. No. So I email them and we talk about it. And as an apology, they're like, pick whatever issue you want for the new year. This was like Thanksgiving. Pick whatever issue you want for the next year. They do like themes every month, like Women's Month and things like that. And you can have a 2-page, whatever you want it to be, like basically a 2-page ad, but I wanted it to be like a interview basically. So it doesn't really look like an ad. It's more, it was like I wrote my own article about my business and then put some images in. So you, like you were saying, you can make it look like it's not just a, here's a coupon, here's an ad thing for sure. I don't think anybody hired me from that, but that's also just exposure, like good exposure. I wouldn't have paid for that, but I don't think it hurt either.
Okay. When writing web or ad copy, everyone says identify a pain point and then present yourself as a solution. Is this relevant for motherhood photographers? And what are the alternatives to the generic don't miss out on capturing precious memories?
Ooh, this is a really good one. Yes, I think it definitely is applicable, but you have to dig way deeper than that because really that is like so surface level of what every single photographer is doing. If every single photographer across genres, across styles, whatever, could say the exact same thing, it's too broad. So my advice would be to really think about like why you do what you do personally. Like, why is it so important for you to do XYZ for your clients? What do they really want? Everybody wants pretty pictures. Everybody wants to share on social media and say, look how cute my baby is. But deep down, what are they wanting that for? What is the reason behind that? What are they going to do with those pictures? What is the reason that they should hire you over anybody else to do those things? Those are all things that you can start incorporating into your copy. And it should be like really unique to you.
What would that be for you, Jenny?
For me, one of the big reasons that I do what I do is because I have zero pictures with my mom when I was little. We're super close. She literally lives with me. She's upstairs right now. And so it's not that we weren't a close family, but she just never wanted to be in the pictures. I have a picture of her holding me the day I was born, but beyond that, there are no pictures of us together. And so I don't want my kids to have that. I don't want other kids to have that. I want moms to feel they can have that without worrying about what they're going to look like. It's really important for me that my clients know that I'm only going to show them images where they feel good about themselves and angles and lighting and all of those things. I'm going to use to our advantage. I'm going to make it really easy for them to come and do all those things and just make it a super calm and easy experience. And then they have those images for their kids and for themselves.
That's good. I'm priced according to my cost of doing business, but I'm not getting any inquiries. I'm working with Melissa on SEO right now, but I really need something to fund the business. Any advice on what I could be doing in the meantime while my SEO starts to work for me in the next 6 months to a year, besides blogging, obviously?
Gotcha. Okay. So there's two parts to this. A lot of people will say, I raised my prices, I'm not getting clients, I should lower my prices. And usually it's not even about price. It's about making sure that your brand, again, supports those prices. Your brand is really consistent. If those prices are on the higher end, that your brand is really elevated And then the marketing stuff. Obviously, SEO is a small part of that, but like marketing consistently is the only way that we still all have to do that. You, me, Allison. If I just completely stopped marketing, I would be in big trouble. And I think a lot of like newer people forget that it's not like a set it and forget it type of thing. Like you really have to continually do that. You may want to only photograph X, Y, and Z, but maybe while you're building up that business, you do take on other things that you're like, okay, I know I can photograph this. I really want the job. I want the money. I don't have to show it. There's nothing wrong with taking jobs that pay the bills. You don't have to use them. And then the other thing is no business starts and the next day or the next month, they're like highly profitable and getting all this income, paying their bills. Like it is normal for a new business to not make money right away. And so it's not unreasonable to think, okay, while I'm building this business, if you need income, there's part-time jobs. Or if you're working another job, don't quit your job before your business is more established. I don't know why we do this, but if you think of any other business that someone starts, they're not expecting to be like, boom, overnight, here we go. I'm giving myself a paycheck. That's just normal because especially at a profitable price, it takes time and effort and just hustle, unfortunately, to really build up those clients and get that snowball rolling. But I would be, while you're waiting for SEO to work, I'd be literally pounding the pavement, doing everything else, networking in person, both with businesses and other photographers, joining like all your local photographer groups. There's always referrals in there. Hey, I need a second shooter. Hey, I need somebody to cover this event. Hey, I have this inquiry that I can't do. Does anybody like want me to pass your name along? Tons of that stuff. And join it for whatever your major city is, not for your small town. If you live an hour outside of town, whatever. Instagram, obviously, you can get that ball rolling, I think, a little faster than SEO. Post every day, post those hashtags every day. Be commenting on other businesses, not other photographers locally, but other businesses that your ideal client is also going to.
I'm adding frames and albums to my offerings. Would you recommend launching and marketing them at one time?
Yeah, for sure. I'm assuming like, Laura, you're meaning like you don't sell like products right now. Maybe you're all inclusive or you just have like digital offers, only like digital collections or something. But yeah, if you are going to start offering those things, I would just switch up your pricing structure and add those in and start promoting them and showing them off for sure. You cannot show products enough. Like I feel like people are like, I'm not sure why I'm not selling any products, but then you go to their website and there's not one picture of products, or you go to their Instagram and there's not, even I'm guilty of this. I'm going to be really good about posting more product images. And then weeks go by and I'm like, I haven't posted a product image at all, but post that stuff, like share that stuff, put it in your stories, put it in your client emails, your marketing emails. It's like clients have to see things multiple times sometimes to be like, oh my gosh, I really want that. I really want that. Maybe my next session I'll get that. Finally, they see it enough and they're like, I need this.
Okay. This is the last one from our list. For someone who's been all inclusive, wanting to make the leap, how should I market myself on social media and website to present that I'm different, since there's so many talented photographers doing similar things that could undercut me? What are some common practices you'd recommend someone who knows nothing about marketing do on a regular basis?
I like that. Someone who knows nothing about marketing. So this is going to sound like a broken record, but truly 50% of the key to marketing successfully is just doing it consistently. I think a lot of people like will do it for a little while and be like, I'm not seeing results, so this doesn't work. You only did it for a month or 2 months or something. And it just truly does take time and consistency. So go through and write down like what you are going to do every week. Maybe you're going to blog twice a week and make sure that you blog for SEO. And so it's useful blogging. Maybe you're going to post 3 times a week to your Instagram grid. Maybe you're going to post 4 days a week in stories, 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. So you're always in that bubble maybe you're going to find 10 new hashtags that are new to you, but really popular in your area. Maybe you're going to go make it a goal to once a week, go to one new store and business and just start cultivating those relationships. Like truly write down a list, which I guess would be called like a marketing plan. Just, but it doesn't have to be like so formal. Just write down all the things that you could possibly do and do them consistently. Yeah. I think a lot of people are worried. Part of your other question, a lot of people are worried about local people undercutting you, or we hear all the time, my city is just so saturated, right? Kim, everybody says there's just so many photographers in my city and they're all just so cheap. I don't know how you do it. And that's not the case here too. Like I could throw a rock and hit a billion photographers and they would all be like pretty cheap. So my best advice is don't look at those people. Don't follow those people. Don't worry about those people. Your ideal clients are not those, their ideal clients. If they're even in business in a year or two, right? Like how many people that are like, I'm starting a photography business, and a year later, they're like, it didn't really work. Or worse, they're shooting all the time and are never home, but they're not actually like making a lot of money or any money at all. You don't want to be in that category at all. So don't even worry about them. And I really like to like not follow anybody local so that like you are doing your own unique thing. The craziest thing to me, and it's happened to all of us, it's happened to me, it's still happening to me, is local people will see X, Y, and Z that I'm doing and successful at. And they'll be like, I'm going to do that too. And I'm like, I get why you would want to do that. But also I would never, not even from a copying standpoint, but don't you want to do something that's different so that you're not just doing the same thing so that different people find you? It's be different, be unique. Think of the things that are important to you and important to your brand. And sometimes that requires some deeper work into your brand. And you're not just, I'm shooting pretty pictures. It has to be deeper than that, which is not easy.
I think you are what's different. You have to figure out a way to, I think, create that relationship with people, because you're right. There's only so many pretty dresses and pretty photos, and you can only be so different with things like that. But if you can figure out a way to create relationships with people or make people love you and your what you're all about, those are the people that are going to keep coming back year after year, where they could get a similar photo from someone else, but that's not why they keep coming back. I think more about how to communicate that sometimes.
Yeah. And just really, we talked about this over the weekend too, but there's a photographer that a friend/client, we'll just say that, of mine, her kids go to school with kids that like moms that have used her, a bunch of people have used her. And they were all sitting around talking one day about how there's nothing wrong with their photos, but they all felt like she made them feel like they were crappy parents. So whether she was like getting frustrated with their kids or I didn't get details. I didn't really want to know details, but it was basically like the gist was that this photographer makes parents feel like their kids are bad and like stuff like that. And just little things like that, like the way that you take care of stuff for your clients, or they feel like on the day of the session, or they feel prepared and know what's going on. Like communication is huge. So many photographers don't even answer inquiries or take 3, 4, or 5 days to get back to clients, or don't follow up. Make sure you're following up with inquiries. It is shocking that it's always surprising to me that doing the bare minimum, or what I think of as the bare minimum in client communication and client experience, is not the norm, but it's not. And even just being consistent with doing those things, it all comes back to consistency, really makes a huge difference to people. And people talk.
All right, Jenny, we did it. It's been an hour and a little.
Awesome.
Yeah. So tomorrow we are talking SEO with Melissa. So you guys come back, I believe, 9 Central. And if you're not a part of our membership, opens Thursday. So we'd love to have you there too.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Bye, guys. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Motherhood Anthology podcast. Until next week, head over to the Motherhood Anthology community on Facebook. There you'll find a few thousand photographers just like yourself that you can ask questions of and collaborate with. We'd love to have you there. So from our lens to yours, until next time, friends.